What makes you feel better about yourself, following rules or accepting a gift? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Mathilde Frey, professor of Old Testament at Walla Walla University School of Theology. I'm your host and study guide author. Tonight we are continuing the series on present truth in Deuteronomy, and the theme is law and grace. My conversation partners are Jody Washburn, professor of Old Testament in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University, and Alden Thompson, emeritus professor of Old Testament from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. What makes you feel better about yourself? When you follow rules or when you accept a gift?
Mathilde, when you read that question, the picture that comes to my mind is wildflowers. There is a tension with wildflowers among all these endless camping trips that we do as a family. And it's not as much now, because my daughter is old enough to, she remembers our conversations about this and how we wish to leave the wildflowers for everyone else to enjoy, you know, in the along the pathways and the national parks and the wilderness areas. But there was a time when this was a real tension for me, because I really wanted to follow the rules, right? You don't pick anything, leave everything there for every visitor to enjoy. And yet her automatic sort of flowing from her heart, she would pick two or three flowers and arrange them very carefully, and she would bring them to me. Mama, I love you so much. These are for you. And you know, that tension of, okay, oh, we have to follow the rules. But how my heart would expand, right? Seeing her love. And there are so many areas where I can think of that same tension.
So what do you think Deuteronomy would say is the better one?
Depends what you mean by when you say, it depends how you read the word life.
See, there is a sense when you do something and you follow the rules, you feel good about it, something mm-hmm. that you've done. And many times we don't know what to do with gifts. Do we pay them back? Can we accept a gift as a gift? Almost always when somebody gives us something, we immediately think, well, how can I give them something back? Someone invites you over for a meal. Well, we need to invite them back, see.
But let me push back a little bit. I don't know if either of you can identify with this, but I wonder if love, to experience love, and here I'm kind of stretching, right? I'm saying that when Deuteronomy says choose life, right? This is very similar to what we're asked in the New Testament, right? To love. God is love, and this is how you love one another. These are very similar. But when I got a glimpse of love, it was in an experience where, for the first time in my life, when I was almost 30, late 20s, I had a friend who gave. She did for me things that I could never pay back. That whole sort of exchange economy in my mind just didn't map on to our relationship. And in those moments, I felt like I have now caught a glimpse of love, of life, what it means to be fully alive, to learn to receive. And so I wonder if there's a part of us that loves the safety of certainty, like this equals this, if they do this, I do this back. But I wonder if the relationship, right, the choosing life over death, as Deuteronomy puts it, that maybe that is that sense of being fully alive, right? Like when I reach out and receive those flowers from my daughter, I'm fully alive. I'm there in this relational space. And maybe that's part of what's meant by, you know, choosing life. I don't know.
Well, you know, there's a passage in Paul, and this one was brought home to me. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll tell a bit of a narrative here. Because there used to be, in the School of Theology, there were four of us that would play racquetball. And I'll mention the names here. And I'll give Jerry Winslow's interpretation, because the rumor was Thompson had the speed, John Dibdall had the reach, Scriven had the power, and Winslow had the brains. But one day after we'd played, I played a game of singles with Chuck, and he said, you know, speed on your feet is like perfect pitch. Either you have it or you don't. But looking at my experience, there's no more deliciously wicked feeling than to be able to turn on the afterburners and leave those guys in the dust. But the passage in Paul, and this is largely from the Contemporary English Version, it was like this. So what is so special about you? What do you have that you were not given? And if it was given to you, how can you brag? I don't care where it is. Everything is a gift. And yeah. If it's a gift, then there's no room for bragging. So ideally, I would like to be able to receive gifts graciously, because I think it's, for somebody as competitive as I am, I think it's dangerous to follow the rules.
Does it give you a false sense of certainty?
Yes.
Alden, I remember your presentation before I knew you at all. Many, many years back in Switzerland, in Basel, in the church.
Uh-huh.
And you did a presentation on the law. And the law in the Old and in the New Testament, the commandments, and so on. So I would like to hear you again. Law and grace. How do you give that from texts like these that are law texts here in Deuteronomy? And yet there is the call to love God, to love the law that he has given from the heart.
Well, the way, and this may not be exactly what you had in mind, but for me, I hate to be, I'm such a rebel, I hate to be told what to do. And that's why the New Covenant promise in Jeremiah is so special for me. So it says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. They shall be my God, and I shall be their people. No longer shall they say, know the Lord. No longer shall they teach one another and say, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. It is such a wonderful thing that nobody has to tell me anything. It's going to come naturally from my heart and soul. And I think that when we understand grace, it takes away that tendency to pat yourself on the back with law. But once you understand that law is for our best good, not in the classic Protestant sense of hammering you down so that grace can save you. No, it is, in a sense, it's a gracious gift also.
Mm-hmm. So I have a bit of a dilemma, because sometimes in our way of explaining and teaching these lessons, especially in when we do it to especially for young children, sometimes it comes across like, well, there are some rules and God says do that and don't do that, and then the question is why, and whenever we do not really have had the chance to think through or to have the background to it, we will go and say, because God said it.
Or because I said it.
Or because I said it,
That's one of the most deadly things a parent can say. No good reason, just do it because I said so. And that's usually a desperation cry from parents, and it really undermines mm-hmm. the proper understanding of authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, here in this section that we are discussing in Deuteronomy 7, for example, there is this law. Is that a law where it says that they should go into that land and then take over and destroy all those nations? That is part of this difficult section, especially in Deuteronomy, that we consider the book of law that God has given. Is that really God's will? How do we understand those things about when you go into the land where you are and to possess it, and you clear away many nations, and so on.
Yeah, that's a very challenging one. I think that there, you included some comments from the JPS Torah commentary, which I think is very helpful. One of the things I think it's very important for us to understand is that these ideas, probably the most important passage, maybe the most important archaeological discovery having to do with the Old Testament, has to do with the Moabite stone, where it tells about dedicated to destruction, Chirim. Mm-hmm. There are so many passages in the Old Testament where that comes in, but it is not God's idea. He is simply working. If you have that custom deeply rooted in your soul, God can't just come in and say, oh, that's a bad idea, let's do it differently. You know, Israel will go and follow Baal because at least Baal knows what the rules are. So once you have a violent people, you can't just go in and say everything is now sweetness and light.
I find it helpful when I read through some of these explanations. I found it helpful to recognize that it was destructive actions that were in God's view so much to be condemned when it destroys other people's life, like the references to child sacrifice, mm-hmm. and so on, that mm-hmm. it is for those reasons that are especially important to see that obliteration of that kind of activity.
Yeah.
And I know when we read, you know, if you just pick up, like, let's say I'm just on the couch and I open and I read these sections of Deuteronomy, it can feel really clear, like, well, God said it, and that's what God wants, right? Yeah. That reading that frame at the beginning of a section means this is God's ideal and really what God wanted. And I just think, especially, you mentioned children, right? Especially with children and really in any context, to add a little bit of space, like just like Alden is saying, Cherem, right, is something known from the wider world that was part of the culture. Same, these literary frames, right? Thus says the Lord. God said to Moses, tell the people. These are literary frames that are known from the wider world. And if we can just create even that one step, I feel like it gives us space to sit with this before assuming all of this is God's ideal.
And we also need to point out there that God has a great interest in the stranger and the alien. So that has to come.
So there's a dialogue even within Deuteronomy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, so that context is truly important in the text and from the society, the culture at the time. Many thanks to my conversation partners, Jody Washburn and Alden Thompson, and to our program engineer, Samuel Schaffner, and, of course, to all of you who are listening today. For The Good Word, I'm Matilda Frey.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.